Good morning, everybody. Amen. God bless us all as we gather into the house of God. I invite us to stand at this time and prepare ourselves for the service. This is a special day, two special events today. It's Mother's Day, and we will be honoring the mothers. The freshman class will be doing that. But the services today, this morning and this evening, are in charge of the senior graduating class. And we're happy to say that this is the largest senior graduating class that we have had in many years. I think there's like 14 four-year seniors. So that's exciting. Let's clap for that. It speaks well for the class that they have stuck together, and they're here today to minister to us, and then they will be moving on. In some cases, some will be staying fairly close by for a little while, but they're all going to be involved in the work of the Lord, and this is their home church while they're in school, and so we support them this morning, and God bless us all as we worship. And I'm going to turn it over at this time to the senior class.
Accusers dropped their stones. You showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
Jesus' name.
That walls fall down.
Jesus' name.
And strongholds reign.
Jesus' name.
Oh, amen. Yes, we are healed.
In Jesus' name.
There are miracles.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, pour it out.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, amen.
You move the mountains. You told the wind and waves be still. You cast out demons. Now there's breakthrough, and now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. You hold redemption. You made accusers drop their stones. You showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. And now there's breakthrough, and now there's freedom. In your name, you gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
Jesus' name.
That walls fall down.
Jesus' name.
And strongholds break.
Jesus' name.
Oh, amen.
Oh, Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Chains are broken when it's spoken. Every knee will bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful?
There is freedom in the name, healing in the name. There is power in the name, salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. In the name, there is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is Jesus, Jesus. Let's sing it again. Oh, there is freedom in the name, healing in the name. There is power in the name. Oh, salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but
yeah.
every name, the name in which there's healing and deliverance. Would you lift up a shout of praise? Any burdens that you entered into this place today with, any brokenness, any sickness, it can be healed right now. Any brokenness can be repaired. Jesus is here. Jesus is in this place. It's the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Let's lift up a shout of praise and worship unto him today. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's in the same spirit and that name that we're going to take our prayer request before the Lord today. And so we're going to take our stand request. We're going to pray for Pastor and Sister Grant today, that for the recovery and the healing. Thank you for Pastor and Sister Grant, all that they do for this church and for this school. We'll continue to pray for Brother Dan Bark, is that God will continue to strengthen and heal him. Continue to pray for Sister Lipke. So good to see her in the house of the Lord today. Let's just pray God continues to strengthen and heal her in Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray for Sister Esther Norris, that God will continue to strengthen and heal her body as well. And let's pray for America's leaders as they have so much on their shoulders. Let's lift them up to God in prayer today, that God would be with them as they carry this burden of the nation. And we had a unspoken request called in, so let's pray for that unspoken. And if you have a need, would you signify it by the uplifting of a hand today, because God knows your need and he is more than able to take care of it. So let's take these needs to the Lord in prayer today. Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Jesus, for this day. And we thank you that in your name there is power. We thank you that in your name there is healing and deliverance. And Lord, we lift up these needs to you today. We lift up Pastor and Sister Grant, that God, you continue to bring them strength and restoration in their bodies, that you continue to bless them for all that they do. We pray for Brother Barkas and Sister Lipke and Sister Norris, that God, you continue to touch and strengthen their bodies. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we pray for America's leaders. You, God, you see the burden that they carry, and you see the decisions they have to make. And God, I pray you be with them as they carry this burden, as they make these decisions, that you'd be in the center of every decision that is made. We lift up this unspoken need to you today. God, we don't know it, but you do. And we pray, God, that you would intercede and that you would intervene in that need today. And Lord, for every uplifted hand, every need that's in this place today, that you'd go to it and you minister to it today. And if you believe that God is working these needs, would you lift up a shout of praise today? We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you're doing, Jesus.
God bless you, church. You may all be seated. We're going to go on with the announcements. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here today. I wish you guys a very happy Mother's Day, and may God bless your family and you guys. Secondly, we have it's Faith Promise Sunday, so just remember your promises to foreign missions today. And also youth, May 17th through the 18th, there's a big Sandy youth retreat, and graduation weekend is May 31st to June 2nd, and may the Sunday school kids come up and sing.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to have the kids come up front. And today is a very special day. It's Mother's Day. We have a song today. Here, want to hold this? And we would like every mother to come up front in the first two rows. And we will be singing a song for our mothers today. Right, kids, we have a song that we're gonna sing, and it's Happy Mother's Day to You. You guys all know that song? Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day to you. We can stand and we're gonna sing it for them, okay? Happy Mother's Day to you.
What an amazing job the Sunday school kids did this morning. And you guys are all dismissed to go back to Sunday school. And right now I'm just going to ask the ushers to come up and we're going to go back to a time of worship.
Sorrow. now there is sunshine in any situation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Good morning, church. All right, praise God. I'd like to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of you in the audience out there. All right, so today we're going to start off with me saying thank you to all of you for allowing us students to be part of your church and to love us the entire way, all 4 years of it, and putting up with all of us. I'm just kidding. But loving us and caring for us. And I'd like to give honor to the Grants for leading this church and this school. And I'm very privileged and thankful to be here. If I could have you guys all open to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. 1 Kings 19, 4 and 5. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." You may all be seated. I know that's a very uplifting message or verse to start the message with. This scripture is talking about Elijah, and he's laying under a juniper tree, and he's scared, and he's depressed, and he's overwhelmed, and he's completely burdened. But how did he get to this point of exhaustion? How did he get to this point of burnout? Does anybody else here feel tired today? Just a little bit? Anybody else not get enough sleep? Just a few? Let's, to first understand what the significance of this juniper tree is, let's first backpedal a little bit and go through what brought Elijah to this point. Elijah started out as a prophet for Israel, and he was sent to lead and to teach and to guide them, and he wasn't having a great time doing it because they weren't really listening very well. The children of Israel were following a lot of pagan practices, and they weren't responding to the teachings that he was giving them. And so God decides to send a drought, and he tells Elijah to prophesy this drought, and he does. And then God takes him away and sends him away to a brook. And at this brook, he's kind of stuck there, and God promises to supply for him. He tells them, "Drink of the water that's in the brook, and I'll send birds to feed you every day." And the birds brought meat every single day. And the Bible says that Elijah sat there until the brook had dried up. Now, I'm not sure how long it takes a brook to dry up without any rain. But I would imagine it would take more than a couple hours, more than a couple days. And so it says he was fed twice each day. And so Elijah is living just by survival and the grace of God. He's not thriving by any sense of the means. And I'm sure he sat there thinking, "You know, Lord, I could really use right now. I'm really craving this. I'm really tired of where I'm currently at. I feel stuck here, and I don't like staying here. And if you could have the birds bring something different, just out of the ordinary, just for a fresh new taste." But he never did. He sat there, and he waited, and he trusted God throughout how he felt. And he was confident in God's word, and he had a promise that it would rain again. And then he goes from there, and eventually after the brook dries up, after he's done watching his supplies get lower and lower and lower, God brings him to a widow woman. And this widow woman was running out of food. See, while the rest of Israel is running out of water, she doesn't mention not having enough to drink. She mentions not having enough to eat. And so Elijah spends time with her, and he encourages her to keep her priorities straight and supply for the man of God before herself and her family, and she does. And God blesses her by helping her to never run out of food. And while Elijah's there, he is able to, while she's feeding him and she's being a blessing to him, which I'm sure was a very nice upgrade from where he'd started out. I'm sure I would rather have a widow woman cooking for me than having a bird drop a random piece of meat from the sky. And it's probably a lot more sanitary, and I'm sure it might have been warm, and she might have made different meals, and it's finally, things are getting better. And while he's there, he's able to encourage her and speak to her. And he told her when he first got there, at first she was on the fence about helping him and feeding him the way God instructed, because she didn't have a lot to give. And she was like, I'm not sure if I can do this. And so Elijah told her, you know what? I've been there. And I think Elijah might have spent some time explaining the brook to her. I've been in a point where you barely have anything to provide for yourself. But I can tell you something. My God can do it, and my God will provide every need if you just trust him. And so he's able to testify of everything God's done for him. And even though it's a different situation, it is similar. And he's able to use his past experiences and his past struggles to build her faith. And as he does this, she begins to spend more time with him. And it says he was there for a while. And he's there long enough for her family to have an emergency and him pray through to a miracle. And I'm not going to focus too much on that story today. But Elijah's able to be used there and is able to help her and be a blessing to her. And the whole time, he's still trusting and waiting on God. While waiting for his own promise, he's watching somebody else receive hers again and again and again and again. And he's still waiting on his. But he still trusts God. And after that, he comes back to Israel, and God brings him back, and King Ahab looks at him and says, are you the one who troubles Israel? Ignoring the fact that the drought was because of his actions and his leadership, he blames the man of God, and now Elijah's finally able to understand why God removed him from that situation. And then while facing the blame, he knows it's not his own, and he continues to serve God, and he ends up meeting some prophets of Baal who don't really understand that God, Jesus, is the one true God. And so he prays, and fire comes down from heaven, and God does a mighty work that only God could do, and then the rain comes. But still nothing. And then that's when he goes to the juniper tree. So why am I standing here on Mother's Day talking to you about Elijah's entire story? Well, let's backtrack. How many times have we had people in our life that we care about and we're trying to minister to, or maybe it's a child you're trying to teach or a spiritual child you're trying to mentor, and they're not listening? And we pray and we intercede for them, and God gives us a promise. Maybe the relationship's a little strained. We can't be as close to them as we'd like. And the communication's kind of cut off for a little bit, and or it's struggling. And then you feel like you don't know what to do, and you're praying, and nothing's happening, and you're like, God, I have sacrificed for you. I have lived on the bare minimum. My family has made sacrifices financially. My family has made sacrifices emotionally. We have done things. We have put things aside. We have taken time to go to church every week and to not do these things. We teach our kids not to do these things, and yet we're still struggling, but I'm trusting you to make it right. I'm trusting you to provide for me. And then God finally gives us a raise or moves our position and changes things to start getting better. And nothing's happening quite yet. And then people in our life that should support us, as the king, he should have supported, Ahab should have supported the prophet of Israel. Maybe our family's not supporting us the way they should, we feel like they should be. Maybe our friends aren't backing us up, and they're blaming us for things that are not our fault. Maybe Ahab is going around telling people, you know, this is all Elijah's fault. Maybe there's someone in your life who's blaming you for things and lying about you, and there's things that aren't really your fault, and he's putting up with all this, and he still has a good attitude and continues to serve God, and he prays through and says, God, I want you to do a miracle that only you could do in their lives. They can see it. And it's not what they want to happen, but I want you to bring it. And God does. And then God gives you your promise, and it's anticlimactic. What now? He spent hours praying. He spent hours testifying and ministering to others, only for his own ministry to not seem to have any effect, and it feels like he's ministering in vain. If we could go to Isaiah 49, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 49, 4 and 5. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again unto him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. God does not forget you. God will not leave you. God is with you the entire step of the way. And Elijah knew that. And I'd like to point out that when Elijah lays under this juniper tree and he's exhausted and he's spent and he's done everything he knows to do and nothing happened, he's still talking to God. He's frustrated, but he's still voicing it and he's still speaking to him. If we could go down to 1 Kings, back to 1 Kings in chapter 19, down to verses 6 and 7. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angels came unto him the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. When Elijah was depressed, when he was upset, God never once condemns him for feeling that way. God never once condemns him and says, you know what? Yeah, of course you're greater than your fathers. He doesn't give him a false sense of edification. He doesn't condemn him and say, you know what? You're right. Your fathers were so much better than this than you. And he doesn't do any of that. He doesn't even acknowledge a comparison. He doesn't respond to that part. When Elijah is speaking to him and he's frustrated, God just loves him. When he says, God, I wish I could just die, I'm done, God doesn't say, how dare you feel that way? And God understands where he comes from, and he knows that he's not in his right sense of mind, because he napped for quite a while, so I'm guessing he was very, very tired. God has him take a nap and rest to sober up his attitude and to bring him in a proper mindset. God feeds him to give him strength. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake made a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And after the earthquake, And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him that said, what doest thou here, Elijah? At this point, this is when God begins to speak to him and do things with him. And God eventually, after this, leads him to go to Elisha, who is a young person who's willing to listen and accept the teaching that Elijah has been trying to bring to the rest of the children of Israel. This is a young person he's able to disciple and continue to keep the mantle going on. And eventually, Elisha gets a double portion of his spirit because he also wants to be greater than his fathers. But before Elijah can get back up, he has to stop. And I think too many times, it's really easy to get wrapped up in the business of life and to feel like you have to keep working constantly. God, I can't stop and rest because this isn't done yet. I have unsaved family, I have unsaved children, I have unsaved friends, and I have to do something more. And we feel like it's our responsibility to fix that. God, I'm not greater than my fathers. If I was, then maybe they'd listen. If I was, maybe I would have been able to get their attention the proper way. Did I do something wrong? Is it because I was frustrated at the brook? Did I not stay with a widow woman long enough? Could I have taught her better? Could I have been more eloquent? But God sent Elijah to do all of those things because it was for Elijah to do. A lot of times when we're overworked and we're overwhelmed and we feel undervalued, we begin to doubt things and question things and question who God wants us to be and what God wants us to do. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I did a little bit of research on this juniper tree that he was underneath, and it says that a lot of prophets actually believe that it was a white broom tree. And the significance of Elijah lying underneath a white broom tree is that the broom embers retained their heat long after they've appeared to be dead ashes. When Elijah appeared to be a dead prophet who's just lying there and doesn't feel like he's of any good use. The fire for God was still burning, and I know that had to be true because he's still speaking to his God. No matter how depressed he felt, no matter how disappointed he was in the way things turned out, he knew he had a promise from God, and he kept his eyes on the one who had brought him this far. This tree was used, these embers were used for cooking back in that time period. Because of how long they burned forever, they were made to make coal so people could keep fires burning. And a lot of times travelers would take these embers and they'd make a little mattress out of them if they were traveling in the desert and had no place to stay. And they'd cover them with sand and would make like a little heated mattress for them to lay on at night. And at the same time, a lot of travelers, it was so common for them to use these to cook in the wilderness, and they had nothing else to do. When Elijah wakes up and there's food magically there prepared by an angel, he doesn't question it, which I found odd. But researching it, it was so common that day, Elijah may have just assumed it was left there from someone else, and he hadn't noticed it when he got there. It was blown there by the wind. And so he wakes up and he sees food, and that's just how food was prepared. But he misses something. When he was at the brook, his food came from heaven. When he was with the widow woman, his food came from her hands. And now at this tree, the food is coming from underneath the tree. God is still providing for him the exact same way. God's still there for him. God's never left him. God has not changed. His situation has changed, but God's provision has not. And even though we know not to be depressed or not to compare ourselves to others, sometimes we still get wrapped up in this mindset. So I'd like to encourage you guys today to remember that just like Abby's song said, there is sunshine in the shadows. There is sunshine in the rain. There is a light at the end, because right after this is when Elijah gets what he's been wanting this entire time. He gets a companion to go with him, a companion to teach, somebody who responds to what he's trying to do. And at the same time, I know it can be hard to think, why would God care? Why would the God of the universe take the time to comfort me? God is our Heavenly Father, and even though it's Mother's Day, not Father's Day, I think it applies to both mothers and fathers. A parent is the one that's instructed to comfort their child when they're hurting. A parent is the one that's supposed to help them care for themselves. A parent is the one who's supposed to feed them. And sometimes it can be hard, and we question, why would Jesus care? I sit there and I pray and I feel bad for it, because I say, God, I've sacrificed for you. I've witnessed for you. I've done all these things. Why? How could you possibly understand? If we could go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, I'd like to take you to the tree of Jesus' own. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. When Jesus was beaten down, when Jesus' spirit was trying to be crushed by those around him that he loved so dearly, that should have supported him and lifted him up, when Jesus provided and was ignored, when Jesus didn't feel that support, when Jesus was possibly disappointed, like I'm sure he knew what was going to happen, but it still had to be hard to sit there. And the person you've been praying for, the person you've been sacrificing for, if the person you've been ministering onto is the one crucifying you, how painful that must be. Instead of going to a juniper tree, he was nailed to a tree of his own. In the Bible, trees can take on, can symbolize a spirit or an attitude. Eve had a tree that represented her curiosity, one she should have never been near. Jonah had a tree of selfishness and self-pity. And Zacchaeus had a tree of feeling isolated, and so climbing and trying to change perspective to get a better view of Jesus. Elijah's tree is one of renewal. Because while it was where he came when he was exhausted and he was beat down and he was tired and there was no one there to comfort him. I think this church does an excellent job of encouraging one another, but sometimes someone's not available. Sometimes you come home and your kids are at school and your spouse is at work, and you try calling one of your friends if you're feeling upset and none of them are answering. Sometimes we have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord and realize that God is the true comforter. God is the one that brings the provision. God is the one that brings the renewal. God is the one that brings that strength. If you guys could all stand today, I'd like to encourage you, if you're struggling getting past or leaving your juniper tree, I'd like to encourage you to turn your eyes to the tree of Jesus and remember why it matters. Remember that you are not alone in this. Jesus, Lord, we thank you today for all that you've done and all that you are doing. We ask, God, that you guide us and you lead us and you help us remember that our true strength and renewal comes from you. In Jesus' name.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise right now because he's worthy. When we had nothing, he gave everything for us. He's worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise and adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's been so good to me. Amen. He's blessed me with so many different things. I'm very thankful for this opportunity to be here. And I know, unlike Cynthia, instead of being here for 4 years, I've been here for 21 years. Been here my whole life. I'm very thankful, in fact, for the church that helped raise me. All my Sunday school teachers who are out there looking at me. Yeah, I know. I see you too. I'm very thankful, though, also to the student body. Because I don't know if everybody knows this. It was a Bible college student who one night before church came up to me and he said, "Hey, I want you to start memorizing these Bible verses. Come back next Sunday and we'll see how you're doing." And he did that for a couple weeks. And before I knew it, I was memorizing many, many verses outside of Sunday school, but on my own. And that got me into Bible quizzing. That got me further into the Word of God, further into knowing who God is. And I'm very, very thankful for those influences on my life that changed me and made me who I am today. I'm also very thankful for the leadership and direction of my pastor, Brother Grant, who's been here my entire life, been very supportive of both me and my family. He's been there in situations where he definitely didn't need to be, but he was there and helped in so many different problems. I'm also very thankful for my parents who helped raise me, who turned me into the young man I am today. I'm also very thankful for my wife. I know she can't be here today, but I know she's watching on the live stream. Love you. If you'd all turn in your Bibles today with me to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start reading in verse 22 through 27. I know my dad always told me the story about when he was in ABI, and they told him, always wait for the pages to stop turning before you begin to read. And there'd always be the jokesters in the back row who'd be flipping through their Bibles and just continuously looking to see how long they can get away with it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 through 27. "Many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.' Therefore," verse 23-24, "whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house." I know sometimes I feel like that. I'm going through life and things just happen. I feel like I'm getting smacked across the face with reality. But it says, "The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." If you'd put your Bibles down, I'd like to go before the Lord in prayer right now and ask him to give us revelation of his word, to give us a revelation of who he is in our lives. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your faithfulness in my life, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have kept me, God, even to this day, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you give me the words to say, that, God, you would speak through me. Rid me of everything, God, of myself, Jesus. Get me out of the way, that, God, you would be able to speak to your people, and you would be able to give us a revelation of your word, a revelation of who you are to us, Jesus. And God, we give you all the glory, God. We give you all the honor, all the praise and adoration, because you're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy. You may be seated. said Mama Pig, as she tried her best to squeeze her way through the cramped house that she shared with her three growing boys. The house had seemed perfect for them when they first moved there after her husband passed away. That was several years ago, though. And the small, cute little furballs had grown into husky men, ready to take on the world. That night around the dinner table, Mama Pig made her announcement. How the years have gone by so fast. You used to be so small and cute. Now you have become men that are ready to go and make their own living in the world. This house can no longer contain us all. It's time for you to find your own place to live. We understand, Mama, said Pig numero uno. That's number one for all the non-Spanish speakers in the room. But remember, said Mama, beware the big bad wolf. He is cunning, he is strong, and he is hungry this time of year. If you want to survive on your own, you must build a house that is strong. And a house that can keep out the big bad wolf. What you make your house out of matters. The next morning, the three pigs set out to conquer their destinies, the words of their mother still ringing in their ears. Beware the big bad wolf. As they went their way together, the sunlight was shining through the trees, the birds singing, the bees droning about their way. It was beautiful. All of a sudden, the first pig spotted a man that was selling straw. Look, my brothers, there is a man selling straw over there. I bet if I build cheap, I can have plenty of money left over to remodel the inside of my house. I might even get a jacuzzi. The words of his mother long forgotten. He went and bought the straw and began to build. His brother's arguments falling on deaf ears. The other two brothers walked off, shaking their heads at their foolish brother. They walked on a little further, and they came across a man that was selling sticks. All of a sudden, the second pig got a great idea. Look at that man selling sticks over there. I could buy me some sticks and build the hunting cabin I've always dreamed of. I think it'd be strong enough to hold off the big bad wolf. Do you want to join me and build your own log cabin? He asked his brother. The third pig only shook his head and said, you might think that it is strong enough to hold off the big bad wolf, but I want to make sure that mine will stand, even if I have to spend a couple extra bucks to do it. Your loss, said pig number two. The last pig went on and on. He passed many people selling various different building materials, but he knew that none of them could hold off the big bad wolf indefinitely. As he was about to lose all hope of ever being able to build himself a house, he came across a man selling bricks. You're just the man I've been looking for, said the last of the pigs. He pulled out his money and proceeded to purchase a crazy large amount of bricks. He wanted his brick fortress to be positively, absolutely impenetrable. Meanwhile, everything had been going swimmingly for the other two pigs. Pig number one had just purchased the jacuzzi he wanted, and it would be delivered the next day. pig number two had just finished hanging all of his guns and deer heads on the wall. All of a sudden, a small cloud rolled across the sun, and with it, a sense of apprehension and fear. Each of the pigs, getting that same sense of foreboding, quickly scurried into their newly built homes. Pig number one was hiding behind his easy chair when a knock came from the front door.
"Why, hello, neighbor. Mind if I come in?"
Fear spiked through him, and the words of his mother echoed in his ear, "Beware the big bad wolf." With all the courage he could muster, he called out, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin."
"Why, then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down," said the savage wolf.
He promptly filled his lungs to full capacity and with a force of gale proportions exhaled. Straw flew everywhere as the walls fell in around pig number one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." This would be a great lesson on building your life on Jesus, on being a doer of the word. However, there is another idea that needs to be mentioned. It was the wise words of the mother pig that set everything in motion. And there's going to come a time, parents, when your kids have to go and make their own way in the world. They go off to college, they get married, or they simply want to go and be independent. But do not let them leave without having ingrained in them the Word of God and its truths. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." That's basically saying the word of God should not depart from you, but it should always be with you. "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house," verse number 9, "and on thy gates." That's something my mother always used to do. She would write Bible verses and leave them all over the house in strategic places. And it was those verses that brought me closer and closer to God. I know this might seem like a light message, but there was so much more. If you look back at my opening scripture, it's talking about the day of judgment. It's talking about the end all be all, the first day of eternity. Jesus is talking to people who thought that they had earned their way into paradise just because they were used by God at some point or another. Parents, never let your kids think that just because they're getting to sing or play on the platform that they automatically have a place in heaven. Ingrain in their hearts and mind the relationship God wants to have with them. Because getting to play on the platform, it's cool, it's fun, it's hip, everybody wants to do it. But it won't keep them from the devourer. Much like the pig that built with straw, he had it made. He had the most remodeled house of the three pigs. He had a jacuzzi. He had everything he could want. It was cool. It was hip. But it didn't keep him from the devourer. If you look up the original story of the three little pigs, those pigs never made it. The first two pigs never made it to their wiser brother's brick fortress. They never made it. They didn't make it out. I want to encourage a mother and father right now. Pray with your kids before it's too late. Help them build their relationship with God. Because that's what matters. That's what will keep them. It's not about just teaching them to pray and read their Bibles. It's about teaching them that there's a God that loves them and wants to talk to them. He has a word for them to help them live their lives and guide them in the right direction. I know we can't just hand them a relationship with God, but we need to teach them. If you look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says to teach our children diligently. It's not talking about once in a blue moon when I feel like it. It's not talking about, oh, here's a hardship we're going through. Let's teach them to depend on God. It's about teaching them diligently, day in, day out, when you're rising up, when you're getting up in the morning, when you're going to bed at night, when you're going someplace. Teach them the word of God. Teach them to have a relationship with God. If y'all stand with me as I draw to a close. I say all these things as a child that grew up in this church. As a child who, going up through the youth group, saw youth kid after youth kid turn around, walk through the doors, and never look back. All because they didn't have a relationship with God. There was always the thought, my child would never do that. It was the kids that I looked at, and I thought they were going to turn this world upside down. I thought they were going to be the ones going out and preaching great revivals. They were the ones that were going to be making the next great Sunday school class. I remember those kids walking through the doors, walking out for the very last time with their gifts, their talents, their anointing. I remember watching them sing and play, and I wanted to be just like them. If all I had were my giftings and my talents, I would be right where they are today. My talents don't keep me. My abilities do not keep me here. My relationship with God keeps me here. My relationship with God is what keeps me standing today. If you're someone who's here who's never had a chance to have a real relationship with God, know that He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you so much that He came and He died for you. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He loved us all so much that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, He made a way for us to live with Him. When Peter said, stood up and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He wasn't just creating some kind of initiation into a special club. He was making the way out. He was making the way out of our addictions. He was making the way out of our fear, out of our depression, out of our anxiety. He was making the way out of all these things so we could be with Him forever. And I want to open these altars right now. If you need a relationship with God, He's here waiting for you. He's here for you. If you need a better relationship with God and you need to renew your relationship with God, He's waiting here for you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be forever with Him. He wants us, and He loves us. He wants that relationship. And I want that relationship back with Him. I want a relationship with a God that loves me, with a God that views me as beautiful, with a God that views me as perfect. Even in my uncleanness, when He lets us repent, when He lets us say we're sorry and turn away from those things, I want a God that shows mercy on me. I want a relationship with a God like that. Hallelujah. Lord, we come before You, God. We want to draw closer to You, Jesus. God, I want to be with You forever. I want to spend the rest of my eternity with You, Jesus, in the presence of a God that loves me, in the presence of a God that cares about me. Lord, I love You, and I praise You, God. And I want to draw closer to You, Jesus.
Upon Your love, it is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in You alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life.
Two very positive messages this morning. I don't know if the Apostle Paul knew anything about the three little pigs, but he wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He encouraged people to build their lives with gold, silver, and precious stones, good solid building materials, and likening all those things to the Word of God. And he spoke against, of course, building with wood, hay, and stubble, which will not last. And then also he did say that we should build on a firm foundation. We have the foundation, Jesus Christ, but it's up to us how we're going to build upon it. Amen. So thank you, Brother Mark, for encouraging us to continue to build with solid building materials. Of course, when you build with solid building materials, it takes time. A lot of work. Stones are heavy. Straw is light. Wood you can frame up pretty quickly, but laying bricks and block and stone, it's one at a time, and it takes a while. And but yet from that we get a good solid building. And again, there is a price to pay. There will be times of discouragement. And so I bring it now back to Sister Cynthia's message, where she has shown us that God will take care of us. God will provide for us. Amen. So when you take the high road, working for the Lord, building with the good solid building materials, and there will be times that you will wonder, is it worth it, the time that we spend in the house of God, the time that we spend reading the Word of God, the time that we spend in our personal devotions and praying? Yes, it is worth it. Praise God. God will provide. He will make a way. Praise God. He is a good God. Hallelujah. 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 So let's take these messages to heart this morning. Make sure we're building with the right building material. And in times of discouragement, testing, and trial, just remember, God is there. He will make a way. Amen. He will speak with that still small voice and provide a way for us. God bless you this morning for being here in the house of God. Amen. Come again tonight. Seniors will be in charge of the service tonight. And let's encourage them as they make this next step in their life. God bless you as we're dismissed now in Jesus' name.